Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. As always, we got Elijah Campbell hitting the switches, making it all happen. The show is the show today, right? We got the rocket launcher coming on, Deshaun Kizer. Got Run TMC with Chris Sanders. It's always fun talking shop. I want to get a little behind the scenes, but just from a player's perspective, an NFL player's perspective in regards to Julio Jones. So that's where we're going to go next. But first things first, look, man, I'm a receiver, but I know where it all starts. It all starts in the trenches. You know what I'm saying? So we have to start there, the conversation about the two padded practices. We got to see these guys going against each other and doing the things that they needed to do. They're not clanging helmets or anything like that. But this is the opportunity to really get a better evaluation on the O-line and D-line. And we're starting to see that. And one thing that is just becoming clear to me is Tyre Tart means business. I that's the only way I could put it. And it's pretty cool seeing the footwork that he has combined with the hands and then the power, the quickness. At his size, to be able to move like that, it's impressive. And that's why you're seeing in my camp notes, right? You continuously see that name coming up because that dude is making plays, getting into the backfield. And obviously they're not tackling him, but I mean, there was one on Wednesday where he got in the backfield and he just completely blew up the running play, wrapped his arms around Darrington Evans and picked him up and just let him know, like, yeah, this play is over. You are going nowhere. So I want to kind of start with Tart and a defensive line. And Tart is a guy that when you look at him, you wouldn't expect him to be as swift as he is. But there's reasons for that. And I got to ask him about that. And you'll hear it in a moment. But this is one of the other things. Whereas, you know, big guys, don't be afraid to play basketball. Don't be afraid to do it because that footwork really develops from there. You know, so cross-training is always a good thing, and Tart is an example of that. But last year he had some issues. You know, there were times where you would see him on the ground at times, but he would flash. Like, you look at the Colts game, he put a swim move on Quentin Nelson, who, by the way, wow, the Colts, they – you talk about footwork, they're having some problems with feet, man.
They're off on the wrong foot.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Absolutely. And I, the other night, I heard Seth Joyner, former Eagles and Cardinals, and linebacker, Packers too. But Seth, that's my guy, man. Good people. We'll have to get him on the show one time in the offseason. But Seth was talking about the shoes and how he thinks the shoes aren't giving enough support, and that's why you keep on seeing these foot injuries that these guys are having. So that's something to kind of take note of. He is suggesting that the league take a look at the manufacturing of the shoes and just how everybody wants to be out there with light. Like, they want to get lighter, right? Light as a feather shoes, but it may not give the same support. So I thought that was interesting. But, you know, getting back to the guys in the trenches, Tyre Tart, as I mentioned, is a guy that has stood out. I actually got to pull him aside and talk a little bit during one of the media scrums, and shout out to Titans Media, you know, for rotating these guys in here and giving us a chance to holler at them. Let's go ahead and go to what T.R. Tart had to say, you know, when I asked him about the difference between last year and this year and some other things.
And I feel like just experience. You know, I got some good playing time last year. You know, I feel like just learning little tricks of the trade, definitely playing with Aquan Jones, Jeff, you know, they really helped me out a lot. So just the little things they taught me.
And then as far as the difference between, you know, this situation, I'm sure you're much more confident this year to have him going through it.
Confident, yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling a lot more confident in my ability. You know, all the work we put in, you know, just having coaches believing in me makes you believe in yourself more.
And And then how much has the coaching that you've gone through from last year to this year, and then even, you know, some of the veteran guys helped you as far as technique and those type of things?
Oh, it helped fun. I mean, I learned unbelievable information from everyone, like part of playing, like proper hand placement, you know, like weight, like my first step, you know, formations, you know, just like, it just took a lot of time to invest in.
Guys, and the footwork is really impressive. Did you play basketball? I know you grew up in Philly, you know what I'm saying?
I did play basketball. I played basketball since I was 7 all the way up to my senior year of high school.
There you have it. Played basketball, and that's where the footwork comes from, in addition to extra work that he's doing. But nevertheless, Tierre Tarr is standing out already. Another guy is standing out, Larell Murchison. You see him working, you know, with the another group outside of the starters. But he's getting in there. And there are times where, you know, they just got to blow the whistle, you know, because the play is not able to be executed because of what these guys are doing. Jeffrey Simmons is another one. And I asked Simmons about just being a guy who's mentioned among the tops. I mean, you had the article, the series that Jeremy Fowler did, and he said that some GMs or NFL executives have said, hey, look, there's Aaron Donald, and soon we're going to talk about, and there's Jeffrey Simmons. You know, so that's just a shout out to what he's done. What's really interesting to me is Simmons, you're not seeing him get a bunch of sacks, but he is impacting the quarterback. He's knocking the ball down, tipping it at the line of scrimmage, and that's causing games. You look at the Jaguars game. You look at the Texans game. These and the first Jaguars game, that is, and you know, the first Texans game as well. Tip passes led to interceptions to help seal the deal. So Simmons, he is just working on being the best Jeffrey Simmons he could be, and he's continuing to monitor his diet, but there's just a different confidence with him that I'm seeing. And I'm hearing him talk a lot more during practice, right? Individual period and those things. And Coach Terrell Williams, and they have, I'll just say Coach KU. Well, you know what? I'll take a stab at it. Coach Kaniche Odize he's a former NFL lineman himself. He played for the Vikings, but they got him in there working. And Coach Williams instituted a little competition. And when you have guys who are just our extreme competitors, you want to bring that out of them. So during individual period, he had them on this underneath this structure where they get low and try to fire off low, but they put bags in front of it this time. And I posted a video on Twitter. You'll be able to see that. But they're calling guys out. So, you know, Simmons and Autry, they naturally go against each other. But like Tierre Tarr went against Pecco. They called out, you know, Murchison and somebody else. And they're just looking, okay, you got the ball on a stick, football on a stick, you yank it, you know, you bark out the count, you yank it, who is able to get their hands on the bag first? And that's just competition, just pushing these guys to work on the get-off, right? And the get-off, the mature way of looking at get-off, because I had some dumb jokes, you know, on Twitter, you know, Beavis and Butthead level thinkers, you know, we're talking about nonsense, but the get-off, that's something that we, you know, in football we call get-off, right? Getting off the line of scrimmage, how quickly you could do that. And that is imperative. It's all about who could get hands on who first. Right now, the offensive line, they're not getting hands on the defensive line first. As a matter of fact, Mike Vrabel talked about that. I asked him just how things are going, how would he assess the trenches after 2 days of padded practice. Here's what he had to say.
And I think the defensive line has been a really good group for us. It's been a group that's had full numbers. You know, when we come to camp, we have a breakdown of what we think that we need. And, you know, John and I went heavy on the roster at offensive line because we knew we had some guys that were working their way back, Taylor and Ty. But then we also knew that we had some veterans in Roger and Ben that were going to need some days. And unfortunately, that's the group that's kind of got hit the worst and hit the hardest. I think that they're battling. I do. I think there's been some really good efforts up front. I thought that half line run and pass drill was a good drill. I think that's the way we need to start practice or start our day or start our game, you know, with those base fundamentals.
So that's kind of a perspective from the head coach in regards to how things have gone, O-line and D-line. And as he mentioned, the defensive line is an area of strength. You have some things going on with the offensive line as far as reps and just rotation. Ben Jones and Jeffrey Simmons, they had a collision the first day in pads, and it was on a kind of like an outside run. And Ben Jones kind of stayed down for a minute, but then got up and shook it off. He came back in a couple plays later. Ryan Tannehill hit A.J. Brown in the corner of the end zone on that one. And it just, you know, when you have these guys in the trenches, you got to – it's tough because you want them to bang. You want them to clash and play with the physicality, especially for a team like this that they pride themselves on being physical, but you got to find that balance. And that's why you're seeing Roger Saffold. You're seeing Ben Jones. These guys are rotating. Whereas Denico Autry is another one you got put in it. Man, that guy's hands are very, very strong. I saw him. Hey, man, you know, I'm a Nate Davis advocate. But I saw him put hands on Nate Davis and lift him up, man. He lifted him up like it was church, man. Lift him up. Yo, it was crazy. But, hey, it happens to the best of them. So, still, I just think when you look at those guys on they're – for the most part, all young, fresh. So they could keep banging over and over again, and they'll be cool. But you got to monitor. You got veterans there, you know, that guard center, left guard and center, you know. And then even you mix in Taylor Lewan, who he's not taking part in any, like, team periods or seven on seven. You don't have linemen in that. Team periods, he's doing some stuff. No half line either. So you're not really seeing him have to plant and drive and block, you know, with a guy on him. But they're doing a lot of combo work and that type of stuff, doing individual. But Lewan, I tell you, it's interesting with him because we know the knee injury and we know how he's worked his way back. He's always been an exciting guy, but there's like a different energy that you're feeling. And the guys, you know, on the team, especially his cohorts on the offensive line, they're excited about that, right? And they love the influx of personality that he gives the team. Like, it's rare that, well, A.J. Brown, I think, is kind of taken over. But, you know, Taylor Lewan holds his own, too, as far as, like, jersey sales and just, you know, a guy who's just presented by the media. He definitely holds his own. Obviously, Derrick Henry, his play pretty much says everything. But even Derrick Henry has opened up. You know, shout out to Kim Smith, Titans PR, just working with him to get him to where he is now. But more importantly, Lewan, you know, being out, it hurt him. And he said that he had a newfound love for football. So I had to ask him, hey, man, well, what did you miss the most?
I miss playing. I mean, it's crazy. It's stupid. But you miss practice. You miss being – I remember waking up like 2 days after we got here because me and Roger came in here early to help some of the rookies out and obviously start getting some good rehab and getting on the field. And I woke up like 2 days later, my legs are sore, and I'm like stoked about it. You know, it's just nice to feel the pains and the of football and, you know, getting calloused back up. I missed it all. And I think a lot of people will see that in my game this year, is just how much I've always cared. I've always played hard, but, you know, I've never had an injury before. You know, I've been hurt, but I never had surgery before in my life. I've never been under the knife. And I got my tonsils out when I was 21. It's a whole different deal. But I've never had a real injury. And so this, going through that process, going through points where you're like, am I ever going to be the same person again? You know, you're relearning how to walk. You're relearning how to strength. Like, am I going to be strong enough to play this game again? It's kind of like a, you know, there's a lot of ebbs and flows, not only physically, but emotionally as well. And so I had to go through a lot of that, and I'm just really appreciative to be where I'm at right now.
So there you have it. He kind of touched on some of the things. I mean, practice, really? He missed practice? And, you love the game, right? So it gets taken away from you. You do have a different feel or draw to it. So it's kind of refreshing hearing him say those type of things about football and missing practice and just the soreness and the stuff that comes with it. It's the truth, man, when you're not able to do it anymore, it definitely, you know, it touches you when you can't. So I like those words. But even the energy, right, because that's something to Mike Vrabel. I remember actually one of the first stories I did in regards to the Titans when I got here, 2018. Because the thing that I noticed right away was how much Coach Vrabel not relied, but utilized Taylor Lewan to deliver the message that he had, right? And it's, as a coach, that's what you do. Like, you pick different players that you could get on the same page with, and you use him to help the rest of the guys get on the same page as well. So it was very tactical what Coach Vrabel did, but I noticed it. And I asked him about that, and we had great conversation with that. I asked Lewan about that, and this was right when he got the contract, right? Got the big deal. And Lewan said that, yeah, that's something he took personally. He wanted to be the guy, right? Because here he is, highly paid left tackle, ready to go, a very dynamic guy, very vocal guy. So I asked him about being back on the field, right? And reestablishing that energy that these guys feed off of. So when he spoke about that, he gave me an interesting perspective on just putting stuff on film. So listen to this one.
Like, before coming out here, practicing is never the most fun thing in the world, but games are awesome. Like, you got millions of people watching you, and you have an opportunity to put something on film that, you know, everyone around the league is going to judge you for. And I love playing football. I love, you know, taking the guy to the sidelines, throwing him to our sidelines, and guys getting hyped up. I love when dudes are getting touchdowns, weird, stupid sellies. I'm all about it. So I don't know what that comes from. I think when I was in high school, I was like a nose tackle or like a D tackle. I was trash. And this kid, I put it on YouTube. I'm thinking I'm gonna get a scholarship offer or something like that. And some kid just posted that, like, you know, Taylor Lewan's never in shape. He goes hard once every four plays or something like that. Like, he was a teammate of mine. And I always remember that, and I was like, I'm never going to let myself be the guy that can't finish because of a lack of something I can control. And that's, I think it's really important to be in shape and show that.
There's a few things that you could always control, right? For the most part, you could control your effort, but you could always control your attitude. So when he says that, right, I'm never going to allow myself to be embarrassed by something that I could control. That's real. That's real talk right there. You know, I'm not going to come on a show and be flat because I could control that, right? You have a choice. So just the same, or even just on a much more, like a much grander scale, he's not going to go out there and play without effort, without energy, because he could control that. And that just shows me a high degree of maturity from Taylor Lewan. So definitely excellent point there. Before we go to a break, Caleb Farley, he's out there and he's getting involved. I know we were focused on the trenches, but I do need to mention Farley because first-round pick. Let me tell you, he looks very quick. And when I say quick, I'm talking about twitchy. I saw him in a rep against Cody Hollister. I mean, not exactly the best guy to show twitchiness against, but still, I saw him in that rep and Hollister released. They were just working releases off the ball, and Hollister released and gave him an inside move, and Farley kind of took it. But the way he reversed field, like a very quick turn to change direction, I was just like, dang. So definitely a lot to look forward to with him. That's the first segment. I wanted to get into the trenches. I know I got a little long-winded, but, hey, man, you got to give the big dogs love. We'll be right back. It's time for Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Uh-huh. What you know about that? Yeah, we had to let that thing play for a little bit because that just does it. You know what I mean? Appreciate you, Elijah, letting that thing roll. Let it roll, let it roll. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Talking with TD, my favorite segment each and every week. Okay. You know, I wake up in the morning on Wednesdays and I say, dadgummit, it's time for Run TMC. Today, hey, we're going to bring it high energy, everything. But first,
I
got to introduce him.
There you go.
I got to introduce him the right
there
way.
There you go. Okay, roll with it.
Okay. And now, starting for your Philadelphia 76ers. At center, number 42, Theo Ratliff.
Hey, man, I'm about to hang up on you. Now, I got one for you that's going to get you, though. And now, standing as a world champion in boxing, Larry Holmes.
You old Mitch Green looking son of a gun.
Man, what's up with you, man? How's it going out in camp? And I know you've been out there all week, but I know it's been some good stuff, man. I've been looking at the videos. Man, I'm going to tell you, when I was looking at the videos, man, our offensive line is huge.
Huge, but huge. Let me tell you, and actually, it's funny that you mentioned that because that's what I opened up the first segment with.
Did you?
Yeah, not the offensive line being huge, but the defensive line, especially those interior guys. How did DMX used to say it? Yo, that's what they're bringing on almost every snap, man. It's bad, man. We heard from T.R. Tartt in the first segment. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Simmons has some things to say. Mike Vrabel. I asked Coach Vrabel about those guys, just what he's seen after 2 days of pads, and he has some positive words. So that was in the first segment. But what about Julio Jones? Man. I think that's what we need to get into. Josh Reynolds also, because, I mean, Josh Reynolds has missed 5 consecutive practices. As of Wednesday, 5 consecutive practices.
And he needs those reps, man.
He needs those reps. That timing and everything. Even, you know, we noticed it back in minicamp where there wasn't that twitchiness that wasn't there. He looked better with the footwork and those type of things on the ladder drills. At least the 2 practices that we got to see him, but he hasn't been out there since. You see him working on one of the machines there on the side. But Julio Jones, man, I think that's what we need to get into. And you've seen guys just kind of get on that load management, right? The Kawhi Leonard program. Well, I don't know if it was as much of a management program as Kawhi Leonard and those guys, you know, back in your day, but. Yeah. Still, you've seen it, right? And you have an inside perspective. So I'm going to kind of take you through the situation.
Sure.
So here's what happened. Yeah, now, you see, what had happened was.
But
nah, real talk. So basically, he took part in 7-on-7 as well as team period. Now, we hadn't seen him do that before up to that point. Granted, what he did for the most part was work top-of-the-route stuff with – A.J. Brown, and obviously with Ryan Tannehill and some of the other quarterbacks. But it was primarily that period during individual. They would go off to the side and just, as I said, work top of the route. He would spend a lot of time with Rob Moore as well as Todd Downing. But Monday, we finally got to see him take part in more than just that. So, 7-on-7, he was out there, caught a seam route. Christian Fulton was defending. Nice shot by Tannehill. It was a touchdown. They go back a little bit later. Now, this was red zone 7-on-7, so I'm not talking about like a bomb. It was 20 yards, you know, if that. So you had that. But then team period, they again were doing red zone work. He lined up. He ran a route, broke it towards the corner of the end zone, and Tannehill lofted it in there. And he was running, and he tucked. And Chris, you know how, like, you know, as receivers were coached, you know, you want to throw your hands late, right, because you want to dig and go get it. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
But at the very end, he took that step, right? Like that stride, and he was kind of, if you picture the Jordan logo, right?
Yeah.
He was kind of like that, but except for with 2 hands up, you know, and the ball just hit like the tip, literally the fingertips, and fell short. He went down after that, then popped up, and he kind of like tried to jog it off. It looked to me like it was an ankle, because you know how, like, when you tweak your ankle, you just kind of like you run it, try to jog it off a little bit.
But then, it hurt for real.
It didn't look like he was hurting like for real. But then he went to the sideline. They had offense on one side, defense on the other one. This happened along the defensive sideline. He went and stood next to the defense, to the DBs, and for the next few reps, you could see him talking with them. A trainer came over and just kind of talked with him a little bit. And then a little bit later, he went into the building. Now, Mike Vrabel, after practice, he said that Julio Jones is okay. The training staff just wanted to put him in the building. He has not practiced since. So you didn't get to see him Tuesday. You didn't get to see him Wednesday. So we are yet to see Julio Jones in full pads. But in addition to that, I haven't seen him, period. Ironically, yesterday, Rashawn Evans called him a mythical creature. you know, referring to his days at Alabama, you know, when they would hear about him, but they never got to meet him. So then when they finally saw him, they're like, oh.
Yeah.
What do you make of all this, right? Because Mike Vrabel today, or Wednesday rather, Mike Vrabel said that they're going to have just kind of like a program for him. They're going to have a handling type of situation where some days he'll practice, some days he'll be on the side field. Some days he's not going to be out there. But it seemed like Coach Vrabel wanted to kind of nip it all in the bud now so that he wasn't getting questions about it each and every day that Jones doesn't practice.
Yeah, but this is very, very concerning. I mean, you know, Julio Jones is a great player, can catch the ball physical, runs physical routes, does everything that you want, you know, a Hall of Fame receiver, you know, to do.
Right.
But what has been the knack of his whole career? Injuries.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the thing, and that's the risk that the Tennessee Titans take, and that's the risk that the fans were taking to get Julio Jones. And listen, Julio Jones is a specimen. Everybody knows that. But you can be a specimen, but you can't be a specimen if you're hurt and sitting on the sidelines. And that's right. The thing that we're worried about. And as a receiver, you got to understand, you know, when you're a receiver, you have a hurt ankle or whatever it is, you can't play because you got to start and stop. And everybody knows it. When you watch him do the four-corner drills or the three-cone drills, he does it with force. He does it with power. And when you see that guy do those kind of drills and you see that, and when you have a hurt ankle, you can't have that same force. You can't have that same impact because you got a hurt wheel. So it's very concerning. And that was the thing that the Tennessee Titans knew coming in, that, you know, he's been hurt the last couple of years. But right now, dude, I'm going to tell you something. I'm very, 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 very worried.
Yeah, and just looking at his injury history, it's very interesting to me because I keep seeing pedal ankle sprain and I see thigh hamstring, sprain. These are things that continuously show. Now, there's a knee strain in there. There's a toe strain, pedal foot fracture, pedal toe fracture. I'm not even going to – some type of hip strain. But for the most part, what you see over and over and over again are ankle and thigh. So I wonder, you know, well, not wonder, obviously it's a recurring situation. When you have that ankle injury, like how do you work through that?
There's nothing you can do, but you know, if you just, me and you watch drills, we're receivers. We know the four corner drill, we know the three corner drill, we know all those things. When he does it with so much force. And I think some of that force can be a good thing or a bad thing. And when you're doing it with so much force, it's putting so much pressure on the hamstrings, it's putting so much pressure on your ankles. And I think that when you're getting older up in age, it's taking a toll. When you're a young kid or a young guy coming in the NFL, it's easier to get away because your body's so healthy. When you keep coming off of injury after injury after injury after injury, though, your body takes a toll and you can't recover as fast as you used to when you were young. So I think that's kind of why we're seeing this. And this is kind of the, you know, the reason why back in the day I didn't want to sign him, because of a situation like this, because we didn't want the situation to happen, you know, when we got Clowney. Clowney came in. I know they played different positions, but they came in and they expected him to get a whole bunch of sacks. But he comes in and immediately he gets hurt and he's out for three or four games. Then now you got Julio Jones. You don't want the same pattern, the same situation to happen to where, okay, we got this stud on offense. We got this polished receiver. We got this impact player, but he's sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah,
I mean, we can't have that. I mean, I understand they got a slew of receivers, but this is an impact player. This is a game changer. And I just think that, you know, I'm not telling the fans to panic. I'm not telling the coaching staff to panic. I'm not telling anybody to panic. But in the back of your mind, you got to think, okay, can he stay healthy for the whole season?
Right. And I think that's something that we could safely say no, right? I think getting 13 to 14 games would be an accomplishment. And I'm not saying it's not likely that. I'm just saying if you could get him to play 13 to 14 games, I think you're getting enough value to have traded for him and paid him the money that he's being paid.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when does that injury surface, right? And what happens if it's you look at the middle of the schedule, right? They have that treacherous run of games. You know, you got Seattle, you got the Rams, you got the Saints. What if those couple games that he is likely to miss happen? Yeah. And then, so there's a lot of positioning. I mean, fortunately for this Titans team, you know, you talk injuries. I mean, dadgum, look at the Colts. Fortunately for them, the division, I think this division is very winnable, even if you don't have Julio Jones a full season. But still, it's more than winning the division. You want to go further than that.
Yeah, I mean, if you just when you say the name of Julio Jones, you'd be like, woo-wee. But then you take him out of the picture, and the Titans could have been in a position to have two alpha males out there being, you know, in like a 12 personnel. And you have both of those guys out there, big physical run after the catch, and you take one of those away, then now it puts pressure on A.J. Brown again to have to make plays. Mm-hmm. Then it puts pressure on Henry to have to carry the ball more. So this doesn't just impact Julio Jones. It impacts so many players. It impacts the defense. It impacts offense. It impacts the special teams. So, you know, with him being out, and just like you said, the games that they play early, they need to have a fast start. And if you don't have Julio Jones, I don't know what the heck's going to happen.
Right. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Yeah. You mentioned A.J. Brown. I will say this. Whenever they want that connection across the middle, it is there. Pretty much whatever he wants to do. And, I mean, that's what he said, right? He could do whatever he wants to do whenever. And for the most part, outside of, you know, good coverage, Breon Borders, Christian Fulton.
Right.
Those two guys. So I could recall – oh, Jack Rabbit Jenkins, too.
Yeah.
I could recall three incompletions.
Wow.
Three.
In
passes that have gone his way in 7-on-7 or team period.
That's crazy.
So when they want it, they could do it. And the reason why I mentioned Brown, because you had said alpha, and that's what he said. That, you know, now he has another alpha but it's good to have another alpha on the opposite side of him. And that pretty much says what you need to know. But let me ask you, not being out there and able to go through – practice, going through reps and those things with Tannehill, how much does that impact just getting that level of, not trust, but just understanding and feel?
You know, I really believe that Tannehill trusts Julio Jones, but the one thing that's going to be off is the timing. Because if you look at A.J. Brown and you look at Julio Jones, they have two different speeds.
Yep.
One's fast. Both of them have great speeds, but one runs faster, one gets out the cut better.
Yeah.
So those are the things that are going to be a little off. The timing is going to be off. And that's why if you look at Tannehill after a play, he's talking to Julio Jones or he's talking to A.J. Brown and say, okay, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to break your route off, you know, you need to look quicker. He's not going to get that rep because he's sitting on the sidelines. I understand we have mental reps, and that's great. That sounds cute. That's just good coach talk. But you can't signify, you can't get the real effect if you're not out there doing it and out there talking about it. So those are the things that he's definitely going to miss, because you've got to be on page with your quarterback. You've got to be on page, and you've got to be in sync with the two wide receivers and the quarterback. So if he's missing all that time by sitting on the sidelines, he's going to miss out on the timing, he's going to miss out on reps, and then he's going to get there out there and he's going to be a little rusty.
Absolutely. So that's exactly what I wanted from you. So I appreciate you
coming
on, giving that good.
Good. It's like when you're at Thanksgiving and Mama make that hot run of cornbread.
Oh,
give me
that,
Joe.
Let me get that.
Stop the fight.
Oh, and
stop the
fight
today, man.
So here's the thing, right? If Julio Jones doesn't go out there and they face a team like the Chiefs or you know, one of those teams, there's one thing that you might hear from the fans. You know what that is?
What is that?
You can't win. You can't win.
Hey, I'm gonna get my Rocky IV quotes in there one way or the other.
Oh man, I appreciate it, man. I had to rush this week, man. You know I got football, but guess what? When we start the season, it's gonna be on, Big Boss.
No doubt on that note. We out of here. Check it out, now.
Go on, test the rocket launcher. Go on, test the rocket launcher.
All right, so we're back from the break talking with TD. We're going to go ahead and go to the mic presented by The Trenches here in Nashville on 906 Buchanan Street. I'm going to bring in a guy that, you know, I've been watching for quite some time. I actually saw him live at Temple University when he was at Notre Dame. We got quarterback Deshaun Kizer. Deshaun, what's going on, man?
Not much. It's another day in camp. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing well, man. Another day in paradise. For me, it's
It may not be paradise for you because you're out there going hard every day. But, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on. I want to kind of get right into just how your transition to the NFL has been, because, I mean, I'm sure it's frustrating. Just, you know, you came in as a guy that was considered one of the top quarterbacks, and it hasn't gone exactly the way I'm sure you planned it to.
Yeah, you know, it's been a bit of a journey filled start to this career, but what I quickly learned is that this is 90% of the league. Coming in, you got big plans. You kind of set yourself up to stay in one city for as long as you possibly can. But in this league, things happen, and since then, been blessed to play a little bit of football in a couple different places, learn from some top guys. Be around some great coaching, and just excited to continue to have an opportunity to go out and get this career back on track.
Ideally, the goal is to get better each and every day. But I mean, the years that you've been into the league, what would you say has been an area where you've improved and gotten better?
And I'm just kind of understanding the game and the way to play it at this level. In college, spent my time, trying to make big plays, use my legs, get out of the pocket and push the ball down the field to some, explosive receivers. But, this game at this level is built to, dink and dunk and just take positive plays and allow the big ones to kind of show up. One thing that I've learned over the years is that, if you're going out there trying to, push the ball down the field every other play, you're going to end up with the rookie year that I ended up with. Rather, the main thing is just trying to stack positive plays, stay ahead of the chains and, be as efficient as you possibly can in the red zone on third down.
Jameis Winston, he recently said something along those lines where he said, sometimes it's okay to be Bruce Wayne instead of Batman. Is that kind of, in a nutshell, what you were just hitting on?
Exactly. This game is it's great of players you have, who can break tackles and be electric with the ball in their hand. As a quarterback, sometimes you got to understand that the best play sometimes is the one that's sitting right in front of you rather than being all the way down the field.
Now, I remember before the draft, you were on, I think it was NFL Network, they had you in studio, and you made a case for yourself being the first quarterback selected that year. So the confidence is definitely there. What drives you to continue to have that confidence? Because you have to have that now. You got 10 other guys looking at you and kind of feeding off of your energy.
Well, yeah, it's no longer about me, though. It's about my role on the team and making sure that I can, put myself in the best position to, help the guys that are out there. There's no question that this football team, especially here at the Titans, is, set up to go out and have some success if we can continue to, build the foundation that we need and, lean on each other and lean on the talent around us. So now it's about, just having confidence and filling in the role that's best for the team. And right now, obviously, with Ryan having the team underneath him, it's about being the best backup quarterback I possibly can, helping teach young guys, and if my number's ever called, to be able to go out there and keep the offense playing at the same level that Ryan has playing.
We're talking to Titans quarterback Deshaun Kizer. Deshaun, I like what you just said, just as far as if anything should happen, being able to go in there and keep the offense rolling the same. Do you feel like your skill set is similar to Ryan as far as making plays on the move, having that? Because I know you got some wheels. I saw it live, man, the Temple game. You hit that sideline, and I kept saying, oh, he's about to get tackled. And, 78 yards later, you were in the end zone. So what kind of similarities do the two of you guys have?
Well, Ryan's a guy who is, consistently, been a consistent quarterback, and has been, able to use his legs and make plays, after the play breaks down. And I think that obviously I have the same skill set there. But, I think another thing that I've learned over the years is that rather than, comparing yourself to the other guys that are around you or, trying to be like, and maybe a guy that's sitting in front of you, it's best just to be the best you can possibly be. J-Rob sits upstairs and make decisions based upon, your potential and your skill set rather than how you compare to other people's skill sets. So as long as I can just go out and, play the style of ball that's best for me, I think that would be the best way for me to define my role on this team.
You ever watch that movie, Any Given Sunday? I don't know if you realize it or not, but your QB coach was in that. He played one of the backup quarterbacks.
Wow. I did not know that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, make sure you hit her with that. Tell her you saw, you didn't realize that your coach was a movie star. But speaking of Coach Pat, how has that been? Because you guys spent so much time one-on-one last year when you were the quarantine quarterback. And how has that relationship developed? What's it like working with him?
It's been awesome. You know, when I got over here, you know, towards the back end of the season last year, it was, you know, it was clear that I was going to have to, you know, pick up from afar, you know, being over Zoom and being in my own apartment trying to learn the offense. I knew that it was going to take a great relationship with him to be able to, you know, put myself in a position to you know, have some sort of an impact on the team from afar. So we quickly, you know, got to work and you know, been able to build a great relationship, one in which it's very professional in the sense that he, you know, allows me to play the game the way that I want to play the game, rather than forcing a specific, you know, set of footwork or a specific, you know, set of mechanics on me to fix things up. With his playing experience and his experience coaching quarterbacks in this league, he truly is one that, you know, tries to bring the best out of you for you, and that's been a you know, an amazing relationship I've been able to build, and looking forward to continuing to lean on him to you know, get the best out of myself.
Deshaun, I asked you this when we were kind of in a media scrum the other day, but I want to get it on record here. Your transition, right, of going from quarantine quarterback to actually being on the field and working with this guy, these guys, how has that been for you, and what, you know, has been the biggest adjustment as far as like getting timing and those type of things down with the guys?
You know, it's actually, I think, was a blessing in disguise. You know, it's tough, you know, not being a part of the team and not building the camaraderie and not being in the locker room. And, you know, last year while I was the quarantine quarterback, but what it did do is allowed me to get kind of a head start on this season in terms of spending time with Coach O'Hara and at the time with Art and learning, you know, this offense the best I can. That you know, extra, let's call it 2 months, was one that kind of gave me a little head start in the OTA, so that by the time I did spend some time with these guys in the locker room, I could truly focus in on, you know, that camaraderie piece and that natural piece that comes with just spending time with guys. And then obviously you carry that relationship over to the football field, and that relationship then needs to turn into good timing and to success within the offense. And, you know, that's what we're working on now. You know, that's what training camp's for, is to, you know, get the kinks out and you know, continue to you know, sharpen up our game and get to understand each other as players, so that, you know, come game time when the opponent, you know, jersey on the other side of the field, you know, changes colors on us and playing against someone else, that we can have the success needed to you know, go after the ultimate goal we have.
Yeah, some good shots to Racy McMath the other day in practice. So I want to shout you out for that. You know, you hit him on the fade, he jump ball, and then a nice, I think it was like a comeback route. Working with Todd Downing, you know, he's a guy who worked with Derek Carr before. You know, a lot of the quarterbacks he's worked with, they've said that he makes the game simple, and there's a very good understanding level. How has it been working with Coach Todd?
It's been awesome. You know, I've been around a lot of, you know, coordinators over my short term, this shortcoming of my career so far. And, you know, he is, you know, found a way to create a brand new experience for me, in the sense that it's one that's truly, you know, an offense that's quarterback driven. It's based out of a lot of conversations that go down with Ryan and him, and to be there and witness those two put together, you know, their spin on what this offense may be, has been an amazing experience for me so far. So now it's about, you know, continuing to lean on his experience you know, trying to you know, just take, you know, take this thing one step at a time to be able to have the success on the field if my number does get called.
We're looking at the receivers, right? And, I mean, there's so much size there. You got some of the smaller, shifty guys. How would you assess this group of pass catchers that you're able to throw to?
You know, there's obviously a lot of potential to be great here. We just have to make sure that we're, you know, taking our best step forward every day when we step out in the field, allowing, some of the veteran presence that we have and some of that size that we have on the top end of the room to continue to pull the bottom end along and make sure that by the time we go out in preseason that, those guys feel as confident as they need to be to be the players that they've always been. And then, come time to the season gets here, just go out and show who we are. This is a team that I think has one, common mission, and that's to go out and win football games. And, through, great leadership and great, following of the proper messages, I think, with the foundation we're looking to build, that we'll put ourselves in a great position to go win games.
And Deshaun, just to wrap it up in closing, people go through things, right? Things don't work out the way they want it to, and some people quit. You haven't done that. You keep coming back. So my question to you is, what would you tell someone who was in your situation where it didn't exactly go how you wanted to, but you still keep pressing forward? What's the reason for that? What's encouragement that you could give someone going through a similar situation?
Just understand your why. If you can understand your why and focus in on what your ultimate goals are, then it allows the ups and downs to stay as even as it possibly can. There's a lot of things that happen, whether they be your mistakes or your highs, or whether it be someone else impacting your life in those moments, whether it be decisions from above. If you can just continue to be goal driven, it allows you to focus on the right now and be where your feet are and take advantage of the opportunities in front of you. As soon as you start looking in your past, start looking too far out in front, you typically fall down in the position that you're in right now. But if you can just focus in on the moment you're in right now, stack up some good days, eventually those goals and that why that you play for will come true.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Deshaun Kizer, Titans quarterback. Deshaun, I appreciate you.
Of course, appreciate you, Todd.